From Colorado Public Radio, I'm Zachary Barr in for Ryan Warner, and this is Colorado Matters. Today, we step inside the mind of a man who has helped the world save a huge amount of energy. His name is Amory Levins, and 30 years ago, he co-founded the Rocky Mountain Institute. Today, the think tank has around 90 employees in Snowmass and Boulder, but its influence is felt far beyond Colorado, with clients like the U.S. military and Walmart. As Levins told CPR's Ryan Warner, one of his latest projects was to make a New York landmark more energy efficient, the Empire State Building.
We came up with the neat idea of changing out all 6,500 windows by remanufacturing them on site into super windows that are very good at admitting light but blocking heat. So that would cut the winter heat loss by at least 2/3 and the summer heat gain by half.
And you haven't thrown out all the windows.
Yeah, 97% of the glass got reused. Normally, of course, you would take the windows out, truck them 6 states away, put them in a landfill somewhere, buy new ones with all the energy to make them, have lots of extra traffic on New York streets with the trucks coming and going and so on. But instead, they just went up and down in an elevator in the same building. And a bunch of Teamsters remanufactured them into these super windows with magic coatings inside to sort out the light from the heat. So that reduced, well, when we combine it with better lighting and daylighting and lighting controls and stuff, that reduced the maximum cooling load in the building by about a third. So then instead of having to block and tear up Fifth Avenue and dig up the old chillers to replace and expand them, we could instead renovate them in place and reduce them. That saved over $17 million in capital cost. So with that kind of economics, we've gotten a lot of people excited who own buildings, finance them, operate them, occupy them, or provide services to them in rebuilding their business models around deep retrofit. And since buildings use 3/4 of the nation's electricity, that's a big deal.
Okay, about those windows in the Empire State Building, how you talked about them, I think, is a window into your head. So, you know, I thought, okay, well, you don't have to put new windows in if you make use of the old ones. You went so much further. You said, and then you don't need the trucks that haul the windows and stop traffic so that all the other cars are stopped in Manhattan and running and going nowhere and transporting these then to a landfill where they take up space. And you know, this is, I guess this is the difference between you and a lot of the rest of us, which is, it's not just about the single act. It's not just about paper or plastic or a normal bulb or compact fluorescent. It's thinking all the way down the line, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we think about the whole system. So let me try another one on you. Texas Instruments was going to build a chip-making factory, and they were probably going to build it in China, except that we figured out with them how to save 30% of the capital cost. That saving of $230 million, along with a lot of energy and water, resulted in the plants being built in Richardson, Texas, where it's operating now. And that was, again, from optimizing the whole thing as a system. So, for example, by using a new kind of control, very simple, that would tell vacuum pumps when they could turn off because they weren't needed just now, and making many kinds of equipment more efficient, fans, pumps, power supplies, lights, you name it. Well, the equipment shrank enough that we got rid of one whole floor that it would normally occupy. And that's one of about 16 or so big honking ideas that ended up with that huge capital saving. And some of the ideas were arrestingly simple, like if you're moving liquid through pipes, use fat, short, straight pipes instead of skinny, long, crooked pipes. Pumping liquid through pipes is the biggest use of motors, and motors use 3/5 of the world's electricity. So when you save 80 or 90% of the pumping energy by designing out friction, that's a big deal. And part of how you do that is to lay out the pipes first, then the equipment, not the other way around.
This makes me wonder if there are things that you look at and you just think that is massively inefficient.
Yes, all the time.
Yeah. And what's an example of that from, say, daily life? You know, something we might run into on the street or in our cars or at the office?
Oh, well, let's see. Let's start with the obesity of our cars. They weigh a couple of tons. They've gained weight in the last quarter century twice as fast as we have. They've gotten denser, that is, more pounds of car per cubic foot of interior space. How would that be good for you? The designers may have forgotten for a while that two-thirds of the energy it takes to move a car is caused by its weight, and that every unit of energy you can save at the wheels by taking out weight or drag or rolling resistance saves another 6 units of fuel that you don't need to waste getting it to the wheels. So you save 7 units of fuel at the tank. That's enormous leverage. And that's why the breakthrough competitive strategy we've developed for autos takes out about 2/3 of the weight and 1/2 or 2/3 of the drag and about 2/3 of the energy it takes to move the auto. Well, that in turn means you can afford to electrify it because you need 2/3 fewer of those costly batteries or fuel cells.
I'll interrupt with the huge concern that people have, of course, about whether a light vehicle, a lighter vehicle, is a safe vehicle.
Oh, it would actually be safer because these materials, the carbon fiber composites that we're familiar with in sporting goods and race cars and so on, can absorb about 6 to 12 times as much crash energy per pound as steel can, and they absorb the energy more smoothly, so they use the crushing more effectively to soak up the energy.
You're listening to Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner, and the Rocky Mountain Institute is celebrating 30 years. It's been a think tank, a consultant on a lot of questions, but most notably, how to better use energy. And the founder and chief scientist at RMI in Aspen is Amory Levins.
We're in Old Snowmass
Old
in Boulder,
Snowmass. Yeah.
And we're a think-and-do tank that I co-founded in 82 with my then-wife, Hunter Levins.
You know, your larger message, in a nutshell, is we don't need oil. And the Rocky Mountain Institute has a plan for the U.S. to leave oil behind by 2050. What's the biggest change that would need to happen to make that possible?
We would need to make autos very light, strong, and efficient. And similar design improvements, but actually much less dramatic, could triple the efficiency of heavy trucks. We also have technology now to triple or even, in many cases, quadruple or quintuple the efficiency of airplanes. And we can also use all of these vehicles more productively. For example, if you already are where you want to be so you don't need to go somewhere else because where you live and work and shop and play and worship and so on is all near each other thanks to smart growth development patterns. And if we charge you for road infrastructure by the mile instead of by the gallon, and we use information technology to enable car sharing and ride sharing and enhance transit and make traffic free-flowing, guess what? You get the same or better access to where you want to be with about 46 to 84% less driving. So if you add that to the technical improvements in the vehicle efficiencies, you end up needing no oil and saving about $4 trillion net present value.
What you've described there is such an intricate choreography of cooperation. Okay, so you're talking about the decision that the person at work makes about his or her car, about the kind of community they live in, whether other stuff is close. You're talking about the choreography of the city planners who make sure that that person has a choice to live and work or work and play in similar places. You're talking about the choreography of government making all of this possible at all kinds of levels. Is that realistic?
I think it's actually the way our society works because all of the outcomes I've just described have very diverse and strong motives behind them. If you can get a superior travel experience in greater safety and pay 5 or 10 times less per mile for the operating cost and about the same for the capital cost, you will have a lot more money in your pocket. So whether you most care about profits and jobs and competitive advantage, as, say, automakers do, or about national security, as I think most of us do, or about environmental stewardship and climate protection and public health, it doesn't matter. Any one of those motives will do, any one or more.
You sound so logical, Amory. And I just wonder, like, this realm is so illogical sometimes. People are irrational. I mean, it's you lay these things out, and I think, okay, all the right motivations are in place, but things aren't that elegant in the real world, are they?
Well, things are complicated. People are complicated. People have lots of different motives. I'm not suggesting that they're just disembodied marginal cost-benefit calculating machines. It has taken millions of not-so-good decisions to get us into the energy mess. It can take millions of smarter decisions to get us out of the energy mess, but it's the same people with the same complicated bundles of, you know, needs, wishes, hopes, fears.
I thought we might wrap up by having you tell us what you drive.
Well, my commute to work is 10 meters across the banana jungle in the middle of our house, which is, by the way, with no furnace at 7,100 feet. We're on crop 42 right now with the bananas. But when I have to drive somewhere else, I'm in a 2001 Honda Insight rated at 64 miles a gallon. Actually, today I'm going to borrow a Chevy Volt and try that out. I think it's quite clear that my next car is not going to be a conventional gasoline car. It'll be some manner of electrified, and that'll run off the solar cells on my roof.
Amory Levins, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Amory Levins co-founded the Rocky Mountain Institute 30 years ago. He spoke with CPR's Ryan Warner. Levins' most recent book is called Reinventing Fire: Bold Business Solutions for the New Energy Era. He's published it online for free, and you can find a link at cpr.org.